The Old Testament this morning comes from Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 23, which can be found on page 80 in your pew Bibles if you would like to follow along. Verse 12, chapter 33. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, and you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you the name. The Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live. And the Lord continued, "See, there is a place for me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." The second reading comes from the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 through 10, which can be found in page 198 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. First Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 through 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all you and mention you in our prayers, constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in the word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you have known what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Asia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Asia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, if you looked in the marquee out there, you see in power and the Holy Spirit. You know, we know the Pentecost story. You know, how moving and eloquent Peter's speech had to have been to thousands of people there in Jerusalem. Right? Peter, this great orator, learned scholar, charismatic leader. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not the story about Peter. Peter is this poor fisherman. He may have had a booming voice, but he was not known for his eloquence yet. The evidence of the power that was present that day on Pentecost was the Holy Spirit. And we have the miracle of speaking in tongues. Glossolalia is the Greek word. Speaking in tongues. They had people from all of the known world who were there, and they were speaking. And what was the miracle? That they all heard as if it was in their native tongue. Now, that's one thing to think of all those people speaking all those different languages, but every one of them there was hearing it in their native tongue. Now, that's a miracle. Read that. And it's in Acts. It's a great, great piece to read. We have the Old Testament piece. Moses. And he has seen the glory of God, but in a cloud. He's seen the glory of God, that pillar of fire, that pillar of light. He's seen the glory of God. He's seen the power of God when the Red Sea was parted. And yet he's not seen the glory of God. And God tells him, you can't see it. Because if you look on the glory of God, it'll consume you. It is too powerful. So he says, step into this cleft. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee, in the glory of God. And God passes by. So he feels the presence of God. He sees a shadow of the glory receding from God. Awesome stuff. And when we look at the music that we've sung, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the power and the Holy Spirit, in power and the Holy Spirit. Well, I think someone had a sermon several weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, and one of the things about being a Christian, how many of you are in here are Christians? Okay, show of hands. Okay. Now, if you were on trial for being a Christian, is there enough evidence easily accessible to convict you? In words and actions and deeds and things that you've done, people you've spoken to, the way that you've acted, is there enough evidence in that to convict you of being a Christian? I hope so. And if not, we'll get to work. But here's the piece from Thessalonians. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Thessalonica. And he and Timothy and Silvanus have been there to this church and have founded that church. And he writes to them in this first chapter and says, and I'm going to start in verse 3, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope. He's speaking to the people in Thessalonica. He is commending them for these pieces of their lives that give evidence that if they were being tried for being Christians, there'd be enough evidence to convict them. And it would be this: work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he continues in 4, for we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God. What did Jesus tell his disciples? You've not chosen me, I have chosen you. Paul says here, for we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that He has chosen you. Well, how do we know that? How do we know that? Because our message of the gospel came to you, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. How many of you are without sin? Bob is not here, so I know he would raise his hand in jest, and that would give me a chance to pick on the Air Force, but we all know that we can't raise our hands because we're not without sin. So if we have sin, what else do we as Christians believe in faith and hope? We are convicted of our sin because we realize that it is contrary to what God's wanted us to do. So we confess it. We confess that we have fallen short. And we ask for forgiveness. So we confess. We ask for forgiveness. We accept the forgiveness. And when we ask for forgiveness, it's with a contrite heart. Contrite heart is what? It's that we know what we should have been doing, we shouldn't have done. And what we didn't do, we should have been doing. Sins of omission, sins of commission. Because it's not in God's plan. We need to be in the right place. And every one of us needs to be in that place where we confess our sin, accept forgiveness, and then what? And then move on. With the power of the Holy Spirit, because you're forgiven. Because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. There is evidence that they have experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of the things that they've done. Because throughout Macedonia and Achaia, people know they are Christians. They don't have to be told they're Christians. They can see it by their actions. They can see it by their deeds. They hear it from them in every experience, in every encounter. Paul's commending them for the fact that, you know what, if somebody wanted to come in here and look for a Christian, it'd be real easy. It'd be this person over here, this person over here, this person over here. These people in Thessalonica have established themselves with a reputation of being Christians because they had the experience of the Holy Spirit. And when you have the experience of the Holy Spirit, you know what? You're not going to be unchanged. The woman who was brought to Jesus who'd been caught in adultery, and after the accusers let he who is without sin cast the first stone, drop their stones and left. And Jesus says, who's here to condemn you? No one. And I do not condemn you. He says, go and sin no more. Doesn't say continue to do what you were doing. So there's not the forgiveness of go out there and do it again. He's saying, go and sin no more. So many times the encounters with Jesus is people go from there changed. The woman at the well, she'd been married 5 times, and the person she was living with wasn't her husband. She was going to the well at noon. Why? Because she was so ashamed. She didn't want to go in the morning when everybody else was there, when it wasn't hot, when all the other women were there. She went when? At noon. Who was there that she met? Jesus Christ. And he said things about her that no one else knew. And she was so changed, so transformed. When she left, she went back into town. And not only was she changed, but everybody in town saw and recognized how she was changed. Wait a minute. Who did she see at the well? Let's go. Oh, and by the way, this woman was a Samaritan, a Samarian, one of the people born on the wrong side of the tracks. And yet, Jesus And his effect on her, she experienced the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the transformative power of Jesus Christ. And what happens? She goes into town and she is so excited, so alive. It's like, wow, where have you been? Who'd you see? Let's go see him. Everybody in town runs to the well. He stays there for a week. How many lives were changed and saved? They experienced the Holy Spirit. The people at Thessalonica have experienced the Holy Spirit. And what is it? It's not just, wow, this is a great experience. Oh, it's power. What's that song? There's power in the blood. What kind of power? Healing power. Resurrection power. Miracle working power. Blind can see. The lame can leap. That's the power. In verse 8, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia but in Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. Paul and the rest of the people that are with him in these missionary journeys, we don't have to speak about this. Everybody already knows the people in Thessalonica have been transformed by what? The power of the Holy Spirit. There's a reading of Peterson, his translation of the Message. This verse 8, the same piece that I just read to you. The word has gotten around. In other words, everybody's heard it. You know, the gossip stories, it's not long before the story makes it back. Of course, maybe not be the same thing that you told at the first, but sometimes it gets transformed. But the word has gotten around. Your lives are echoing the Master's word. You know, in John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, nothing was created without Him. And then the Word took on flesh and came to dwell among us in Christ Jesus. So we know what the Word is. We know who the Word is. The Word has gotten around. Your lives are echoing the Master's Word, not only in the provinces, but all over the place. The news of your faith in God is out. We don't even have to say anything anymore. You are the message. It's no longer sitting, opening a scroll and reading the scroll and, oh, wow, let's get the Holy Spirit. No, have someone come in and read it. Have someone go into a church that is serving people food and see it. Go to a shopping center on a Saturday morning. See a bunch of ladies selling bakery goods, raising money to buy flood buckets. There's power in the blood. There's power in the Word. And if the Word is in you, and if the blood has cleansed you, then show it. Shalom. Our hymn of invitation is number 103, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, 103.